Cactus League play continues on. Some news out of camp about Luis Urias. Also, Corbin Burns is really good at pitching. We got all that coming up on Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to your Milwaukee Brewers. And thanks for making us your first listen of the day. I'm Dominic Catronio. As always, I'm joined by Vinny Rutino. Thanks again for tuning in. And Vinny, we got to see Corbin Burns pitch yesterday. We got to see a couple of home runs from some big sluggers of the Brewers. I mean, I like to say it a lot, and you've seen me say it on Twitter. The vibes are immaculate right now. I think we're all ready for the season to get going.
We're ready for the season, and today's game, or yesterday's game, we're recording it at night after the game, but it was a great showing by this group that pretty much was their starting lineup that you'll probably see opening day. And, I mean, you got a homer from Tellez. That's great to see, right? He's starting to really barrel up the baseball. Willy Adames. Hopefully that bat's going to get really sizzling hot before the season starts. But then you got to talk about Burns. How nasty was he? And I know we'll get into it, but it was just a really good vibe from this game that the Brewers are ready, and didn't take them long. I feel like they're ready to start tomorrow, and I can't wait for opening day.
And we're going to talk about today's game with Corbin Burns. We're going to talk about the update from Luis Urias. And we're also going to talk about MLB Network has started doing its new top 100 players right now countdown. And last night was number 100 to number 81, so the first 20 players of the installment. And there were two Brewers on that list and one notable Brewer that just missed out, according to the analyst. So we're going to talk about those guys later on in the show. But let's start with maybe the most shocking news of the day. This news broke when we were already done recording for Monday's episode. You were well fast asleep, wee hours of Central Time, that the Albert Pujols saga has come to a close. He is returning back to St. Louis. A one-year, $2.5 million deal to go back to his old stomping grounds and what he calls his final season of professional baseball. So we're going to see a lot of farewell tours of Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols this year, and you know, unofficially, Adam Wainwright probably as well. So the Cardinals core is starting, getting ready to wrap things up. What was your initial reaction when you saw that the machine was headed back to St. Louis?
I mean, he's an icon, right? And he's an icon in St. Louis. I thought that's a nice gesture for the fans and for that franchise. I mean, he is the face of the franchise for a couple of decades, right? So I thought that was cool. I thought $2.5 million was a pretty steep price tag for Albert Pujols, and his production for the last 5 years has been less than average. So that was the only thing that was surprising. But you know what? I mean, to bring him back and for the fans, I can see why they did it.
And just in case you were wondering, in his career at American Family Field, he's a .332 hitter with a .1040 OPS and 19 career home runs. So hopefully he doesn't channel that into things this season. Granted, there are only two lefties in the rotation between Ashby and Lauer as it currently stands, so maybe we won't see him all that much.
Probably won't see him all that much. Perhaps some pinch hitting. I did want to just comment really quickly. Russell Branyan, teammate of mine, he said the best hitter he has ever seen, and he played a long time in professional baseball, a lot of time in the big leagues, was Albert Pujols. He said that he saw him in a four-game series get 16 at-bats and square up 16 baseballs. So that's just a little perspective of how good this guy was at one time. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got 3,300 hits, 3,301 at this point. That's really, really impressive. And 679 homers. Wow, I didn't know that number was that big. But
yeah, 21 away from the big 700.
Pretty incredible career and pretty incredible talent at the end of the day. To square up 16 baseballs in a row and 16 at-bats is pretty impressive.
So we'll see him and the Cardinals on opening day, the home opener, that is, on April 14th. But let's talk about yesterday's game now. Let's talk about the reigning Cy Young winner, Corbin Burns. And this lineup, you teased it there in the first few moments of the show. This kind of looked like an opening day lineup. So Colton Wong led off. Lorenzo Cain probably isn't going to bat second, but he batted second. Yelich, 3. McCutchen, cleanup. Adames, 5. Tellez, 6. Renfro, 7. Narvaez, 8. and Jace Peterson 9. So there probably could be Adamas and Kane would be flipping. Kane would be further down. But nonetheless, the personnel seems like those are going to be the guys. And before we get into Corbin, the offense, you touched on it, Rowdy and Adamas going yard. And Adamas is, holy cow, straightaway center over the hitter's eye. I love the new celebration coming across home plate, by the way, too. What did you think of that?
I like it. You know what? At one point, Dom, I got to admit, I was a little bit of a, what do you want to call it? Just an old school, you know, traditionalist in terms of just put your head down and run around the bases.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, I was. I'm not kidding. As a player, I'm like, run around the bases, quit showing. I love it now. I absolutely love it. I don't know what's changed about me, maybe in my old age, but I love the celebrations. I love the flair in the game now. I don't mind when guys watch home runs. I like it when pitchers fist pump and get really excited too when they punch a guy out. So I love all of it. I love that. I love the what is it? It's like a little snapshot camera.
Yeah, expose, like, you know, pose. Yeah. You know, red carpet kind of thing, looking down the aisle. I don't know, but it was pretty fun.
I like it.
Telez goes yard as well. I really was intrigued by his comments with Sophia during the game as he was exited, just talking about how this is a family. And most of the time, you kind of brush that stuff off as eyewash. But then, you know, him talking about what it actually meant to him being the new guy and meshing with the clubhouse as quickly as he did last year, and that he feels great. He knows that first base is his position. He feels immensely comfortable. And I don't know how else to say, but buy stock now, I guess, in Rowdy Telez.
Yeah, exactly. I love those comments, too, about how everyone welcomes him in. You hear that all the time. You hear that about Andrew McCutchen, you know, first day, second day, whatever. He's just part of the team after a couple of days. And then, obviously, you got just leaders up and down the clubhouse, and they make it fun. Don't you just want to play for the Brewers? You know, I mean,
it's awesome.
It is great, this energy that they bring up and down that lineup. And yeah, Rowdy is my guy. I definitely want to buy some stock in Rowdy Telez. I think he's going to have a really, really good season. He's going to be that presence in the middle of the lineup that's just going to solidify, you know, that big lefty bat that they need in the middle of the lineup that can leave the yard at any point, especially as we wait for Yelich's bat to return.
Indeed, I was getting ready to say Yelich, and you talk about that. To have two lefty bats right in the middle would be huge. But the man on the mound, the projected opening day starter for your Brewers, he looked filthy. 8 punchies, 5 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, 1 walk. The cutter was starting to cut, and he admitted after the game that he didn't really have the cutter in his first start or even in the first inning today. Just said he found it, just quick little tweak. When you caught, what was it like? You know, when you see a guy tinkering and when you see a guy trying to find it and when he finally does click it into gear, how fun is it to just put that finger down? All right, boom, dotted, dotted, dotted. That's what it looked like today from Corbin.
That is such a fun feeling back there, putting down fingers where you don't really even care what you're putting down. You know the guy's going to execute the pitch. And you hear Corbin Burnes talk about that all the time. He's not even focused on results. He's focused on the process, and he grades himself on his pitch execution. I thought that was so cool to hear him talk about, like, his own grading system as to whether or not he executed a pitch or not. I think that's super smart, and it keeps this guy present. It keeps him kind of in the moment, and all he's got to do is make sure that cutter, that feel, whatever he's feeling coming off those fingers is what he wants, and he knows it's going to be in that spot. And yeah, I mean, that is a fun feeling as a catcher, especially now that he's got a fun new little weapon. He kind of implemented it all last year, and it was really fun to watch that backdoor cutter to lefties. If you remember 2019, he got hammered by lefties. That cutter would come back over the middle, and guys would hit it out of the ballpark at an alarming rate in 2019. He's one of the worst starters in the major leagues. And he comes back, and he learns that backdoor cutter, and he spotted it up like 2 or 3 times a day for strike 3 looking. And it is unhittable. It's unhittable. It's like 3-4 inches outside, and then it comes back over the outside part of the plate at 97 miles an hour. Good luck. And if he has that pitch on in any given day, you can't hit him.
He was terrific again yesterday. Again, to reiterate, 8 strikeouts. But I think what was most important to take out of yesterday's start is that he got up to just about 70, 75 pitches, but he got up and down 5 times. So 5 innings of work. Yes, it's only his second start of spring training, but, you know, we're 9 days away, 8 days away from being ready to go and traveling back to Milwaukee. So one of the things that he talked about afterwards with Sophia and with the media is that That was more important to me. The fact that I got up and down five times to get myself ready. The pitch count, it was a bonus that we hit the pitch count in the projected amount of innings that I wanted to throw. But the fact that I got up and down five times felt like I was ready to go. And then you would figure opening day, he could be ready for something like 90 pitches, despite how short this camp was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he'll be ready to go. I don't know if they'll extend him out that deep into the game opening day. We'll see how he's feeling, how he's looking. But yeah, I mean, it's important for his legs to get underneath him. He's talked about that in the past, like, you know, because it is. I don't necessarily want to say it's a high effort delivery, but he's using everything he's got in that delivery, right? It's not this fluid, smooth Aaron Nola type effortless delivery. I mean, he is really getting after it. And you could see why it would take him a lot to get up and down five times, or, you know, to throw 110 pitches in a game. So that is important for him to continue to do that and ramp up towards that upper, you know, then in the 90 pitch mark.
And I think back to the story of all the guys pitching at Notre Dame Prep, which is a high school out here in Scottsdale that was orchestrated by Brett Sullivan. It's a great story if you haven't read it from Adam McAlvey yet. But it's a reminder that, you know, these guys have been pitching since February. It's not like they've been sitting on their couch since February. These guys were ready just in case a deal was struck in the middle of February. It just turned out to be March 12th or whatever the day ended up being. So they've been ready. They've been ready to throw. It's just now it feels weird to say, oh, your second start, you went five innings. Or the other day, Max Scherzer throwing 90 pitches. You know, it's just it feels weird, but these guys have been working out and getting ready to go.
Yeah, they were timed. They're timing it up for the season to start for sure. I think if it was a normal spring training at this date, March 28th, he would have been in that same pitch count, same spot if it was a normal spring training. So he'll be ready to go. All these guys will be ready to go. It's not like in the old days, and this is kind of a cliche to talk about, but it's not in the old days where you just come to spring training without having not done anything. I mean, workouts are rigorous and grueling in the offseason. And they're designed that way so you are ready for spring training.
So we will be awaiting the official announcement on whether or not Corbin Burns will be the opening day starter. But as things line up now, he would maybe make a light bullpen appearance on Saturday or Sunday of this weekend to, you know, maybe throw four innings at most, just get himself ready. And then Thursday of next week, he is the opening day starter, is what it projects to be right now. What an honor it would be for him, given what he's gone through after 2019, figuring things out in 2020, and then reaches the top of the mountain with the Cy Young last year.
I was texting with Carlos Villanueva today, and I was like, oh my goodness, this guy he's the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, I know that sounds kind of obvious, right, because he was the Cy Young Award winner, but like go back and look at some of those starts in 2019. It was not pretty. I remember how nasty the stuff looked. I remember also seeing a lot of home runs hit because he would just let balls, you know, kind of leak right over the middle of the plate. And I remember Paul Goldschmidt, I think it was like his first start of the season in 2019 when he was obviously Goldschmidt's first year with the Cardinals. And he just hit, I think, two or three bombs off. I did two bombs for sure off of him. And I'm like, man, I was wrong on this guy when I scouted him, right? But I wasn't. Because he's ended up turning out to be phenomenal. And this guy, he's not going to regress. He's going to continue to do exactly what he did last year. And it'll be fun to watch.
Awesome. So as we move on to updates and a look at the lineup, we want to take a quick moment to tell you about one of our newest partners here at Locked On, something that I started using this past year, Athletic Greens. I started using it because, well, as you know, I'm a caddy, right, Vinny? So I gotta get out and go a lot. Sometimes coffee just wasn't enough for me. And Athletic Greens, not only is it giving me more energy, and it's really helping me out as far as getting, you know, the right sort of nutrients and supplements that I needed, as opposed to just taking like 30 pills or getting everything. It's so simple. It's just one scoop of Athletic Greens into a glass of water, and I'm absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, and adaptogens. I mean, I can get really crazy with the alphabet soup in this, but Athletic Greens is so healthy for you and what it can do for your body. It's given me so much more energy to be ready to caddy and carry two bags on my shoulders and then go and do stats that night for the Brewers. I mean, it's lifestyle friendly too. I mean, you can be paleo, you can be vegan, you can be gluten-free, dairy-free, it doesn't matter. It's just in water. It's super easy to follow. It also promotes better sleep quality and better recovery. You know me, I mean, I wear a Whoop, so I'm all about that kind of stuff. And the price is great. It's less than $3 a day. I mean, think about it versus taking a coffee or something. It's still cheaper than that. It's cheaper than your cold brew, and I'm a huge cold brew fan. But now Athletic Greens can give me that same energy kick while giving me even more health benefits. It's an all-in-one nutritional insurance. So, and to make it easy, we're going to help you guys try out Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens wants to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I tell you what, Vinny, when I'm reading that, I stuttered because I want to say athletics, as in the Oakland Athletics, but I stopped myself with Athletic Greens because it's green, Oakland, A's, athletic. That's all I think about. Anyway, Luis Urias, we got news about him that it's pretty much certain that he will be starting the season on the injured list with his strained left quad. The good news is he is doing baseball activities right now. Just started running. He's playing catch. He's hitting in the cage, but still far away from getting live ABs. Can you take us into when you're at the end of camp and if you feel like you haven't got enough ABs, you know, whether you're going to a minor league season or a major league season, why is, you know, Craig Counsell said we need to make sure he gets enough at-bats. What is Luis going through right now of making sure he can see some live pitching?
He's going to the minor league side, and he is going to lead off every single – I don't know if he's ready for this yet, but once his quad is ready enough to hit and take live at-bats, what you're going to do is you're going to go on the minor league side. There's four games going on every single day on the minor league side, and you are going to lead off every single inning. So if you're a minor leaguer trying to get some extra at-bats and you see Luis Urias lead off every inning, you're kind of like, come on, just take a hike. But I kid, I joke around, but that's exactly what they do. You see big leaguers, and a lot of times they'll hit, and then they won't even run. Usually they won't take at-bats unless they can at least jog so that they can get out of the box and jog down to first base. But that's what he'll do. He'll get like eight at-bats in one game in like, in obviously an 8-inning game, and then he will take it to the house, and that's what they do to get ready.
It's a hard rush for him because they're not worried about him defensively. It's more about him being able to run the bases and getting power into that left quad, into his swing as he's following through. I mean, the first day he said he couldn't even walk. So it's good to hear that he's back into baseball activity, but that leads to the next question. We've talked about this a lot so far in camp. It sounds like we know the answer. With it being Jace Peterson starting yesterday, but who would you be starting at third base on opening day?
It's Jace for me. It's definitely Jace Peterson for me. I mean, the kid is, he can do it all. I love Jace Peterson. He gets on base. He can hit for power. He can hit mistakes in the gaps and out of the ballpark. And then he plays a really good infield. He plays a really, really solid infield. We saw him play second base quite a few times last year. It's smooth out there. He knows exactly where to be. He's a natural in terms of the instinctual part of the game. He's got a very good clock. He's got good actions in the infield. So I like Jace over there at third base. I guess the other option would be Mike Brasso. I guess I just haven't seen enough of him to edge over Jace at this point. And certainly Jace earned it with the season that he had last year.
And on the note of Brasso, he did not play in yesterday's game. I would expect to see him in today's lineup, given he exited Friday with an illness. He was starting that game against the A's, got one AB, was feeling queasy. Counsell took him out. He was already scheduled to be off on Saturday, and the team had an off day on Sunday. So they just let him have the whole weekend off, get himself back on track. So we'll probably see him in the lineup today. But I agree with you. Jace has certainly earned it. It depends on, you know, who you're going to face from the Cubs, right? Because opening day starter is more likely than not going to be Kyle Hendricks. And then Marcus Stroman, a pair of right-handed pitchers, right, to start the season for the Cubs. And then you look at the rest of their rotation, the only lefties they have are Drew Smyly and Wade Miley. Now, that is, wow, say that fast. Holy cow, Wade Miley, Drew Smyly. That's not fun to say quickly. It depends on where those guys slot, if Jace is going to get a day off and you bring in the right-handed bat of Mike Brasso. That's just something to keep in mind. But I think you're going to see a lot of Jace on opening weekend.
I think Brasso probably phase. I'm guessing Miley would be their number three starter. But, yeah, you're going to see a lot of Jace, and you're going to like what you see. I think he's just a very solid contributor to this lineup, to any major league lineup. But, again, I'm a Jace Peterson fan, and I'll say it again. People forget he was DFA'd. He was designated for assignment last year. Granted, he was not playing well, and some of the mechanical changes that he was making to his swing hadn't taken hold yet. But he was DFA'd. Any team could have had him, and he is. I think he's going to show that he is an everyday big league player at this point.
Can't wait to see what he can do for an entire 2022 season. Before we get to our final segment talking about MLB Network's top 100 players right now, we're going to take a quick break. So MLB Network does this list every year, and there's a couple quick notes to make about it. Every year, this is the 11th or 12th year, I believe, in a row they've done this list of the top 100 players in Major League Baseball right now. Not of all time, not including their careers, just saying, hey, if I'm starting a team, these are the top 100 players that are going to be off the draft board most likely, you know, positions aside and things like that. So remember, there's throughout a season, there could be 800-900 players that play in games throughout a Major League Baseball season. To be the top 100, you're in the top 10% of your sport. That is an honor in itself. So that is something to be keep note of. There are installments of this series that comes out from MLB Network. And last night was the first episode, number 100 to number 81. So the first 20 players. Two Brewers made it into the top. The first 20 names. And in fact, the very first name listed was Christian Yelich. And then ironically enough, I don't know if this was producers getting into the statistician's ears, but the number 99 player was Cody Bellinger. So hilarious, first and foremost, after 18 and 19. Christian Yelich, number 100, gut reaction, go.
Ooh, I mean, ooh, that's my reaction. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I'm pulling, obviously, is pulling like hell, like everybody, that he gets back to the Christian Yelich we know and love from second half of 2018 and then all of 19. But at this point, you know, I hope he comes back. I mean, I think it might take him a few more at-bats to kind of figure it out. So that's where I'm at with Christian. If he does, he's way higher than 100 on the list. And if he doesn't, he's way lower than 100 on this list. That's all I got.
And to be fair, I mean, for him, if you would have told me in 2019, yeah, he's going to fall to number 100, I'd say, like, well, maybe he didn't play at all. I mean, quite frankly, what he produced last year was way less than league average if you take out the walks, right? I mean, he slugged less than 400. That is not the Christian Yelich we know. What this list is saying, we know he's better than 2021. We know he's better than 2020. But if he doesn't show the Christian, at least signs of Christian Yelich returning, he is off this top 100, which I think is an absolutely valid, fair point to make. I laughed that Bellinger was number 99, but I was intrigued by a couple of names that popped up. But before we get into the next few names, I want to talk about a guy that missed the cut. They had a special at the end of it of saying it was hosted by Greg Amsinger. They had Mike Lowell and Ron Darling as analysts on it. And they made their picks of who are you surprised is not on the top 100 since they've seen the entire list. And I said Greg Lowell, I meant Mark Lowell. But Greg Amsinger made the point of, hey, how the heck is Devin Williams not in the top 100 players if Jonathan India is in the top 100? Like, let's tap the brakes here for a second. You've got the reigning NL Rookie of the Year in 2021, the NL Rookie of the Year in 2020 in Devin Williams, and arguably was even better than he was in 2020 and 2021. How is Devin Williams not on this list? And whoever made this list must be a Chicago fan. Like, I'm over it.
The only thing I don't see any relievers on this list.
We're only 20. I bet Hader would be in the next batch. Hendricks would probably be in the next batch because relievers, it's so much harder to generate WAR.
Definitely, and Josh Hader's probably going to be in the top 15. If he's not, then yeah, let's throw this list out. You know, but that is definitely surprising because Devin Williams, the way that he produced, obviously in 2020, you kind of scratch your head thinking, hey, is this guy going to repeat it? And then he did repeat it. I mean, he didn't repeat it from the standpoint of, you know, I mean, he had a minuscule ERA in 2020. But he did show flashes in long stretches last year of similar production, especially after he got back from some of the shoulder issues he had, and he went on some nasty runs, right? I mean, where he would not even give up contact in a number of outings in a row, and so he is super valuable of a player, and he could close for probably 90% of the teams in the major leagues right now, but he just happens to be on the team with Josh Hader. And he could be an all-star closer. So I definitely disagree that he's not on this list.
Just to finish your thought, over his last 27 games of the season, from June 25th to his last game on September 26th, he threw 25 and two-thirds innings. He struck out 41 batters. He gave up four earned runs, and all four of those earned runs came in one game. So that means in 26 of his last 27 games, he did not allow an earned run. How is this dude not in the top 100?
Amazing. Yeah, no, he should definitely be in the top 100. He will be next year, in my opinion. I think he looks great. He looks absolutely phenomenal. He's on a mission, right? He's on a mission to kind of prove himself after that little bit of a immature hiccup there at the end of the season that he made. But he's got a new pitch. He's got that cutter. He's got some strength in that hand now that he broke. And I love how he's kind of attacking with a little bit more aggressiveness with that fastball, and then that's just setting up that nasty changeup. So I'm looking for big things from Devin Williams this year.
And finally, the last guy that was in today's episode of the top 100, so from 100 to number 81, our favorite, Willy Adames. I'm glad he's getting the respect on a national scale that he deserves. Being number 81, a top 100 player in baseball, he rightly is. He had just missed out on MLB's top 10 shortstops, which is obviously a loaded position every year. I mean, you just look at the National League for shortstops. It's absolutely loaded. I would have hoped he would have been a little bit higher, but like I looked at my dad and I said, I think Willie should be top 75, maybe top 70, you know, like number 70 on. But 81, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm really happy for Willie to get into this top 100.
Yeah, his numbers, obviously, we talk about that a lot, from when he came over to the Brewers, are astoundingly good, right? I mean, he deserves certainly to be on this list. I think he should have been a little bit higher, especially I think that he brings something to the team with the defense and then the leadership, being that infield captain at such a young age, 26 years old. So I think the intangibles should elevate him a little bit. I know that maybe this list isn't really taking that into account, but he should get credit for that as well. So he's the team MVP, in my opinion, for position players, and he certainly belongs on this list. I think probably, I would say even the top, yeah, 75 to 50 is where I would slot him.
You know, it's funny, as I scroll down on his baseball reference page, there's a great segment of it called Similarity Scores, where you can see similar batters by their overall profile. You can see similar by age. You can also see similar batters through their age 25 season. Lo and behold, the number one name that he is most similar to his offensive profile to through age 25 is, drumroll, J.J. Hardy. How funny is that? How poetic is that?
That's awesome. No, I mean, J.J. was one heck of a player, had a great career, hit a bunch of home runs. He was a vacuum cleaner at shortstop, didn't have great range, but you were out if you hit it in his kind of range radius there. And yeah, I mean, Willie is a similar type of guy. That's a good comp. I like
it a lot. That not always is it a good comp. This is a good comp, and it's also meaningful for Brewers fans. So pretty fun to talk about. Okay, so let's look ahead to the rest of this week, Vinny. Tomorrow we are kicking off our NL Central preview. We're going to start with, you know, obviously we have less than 2 weeks left of the season, so we're going to do two teams per episode. Tomorrow we are doing the bottom feeders. We're doing the Pirates and the Reds, and then next week we'll be doing the Cubs and the Cardinals in the rivalry series, I guess you could call it, next week. And then Thursday we continue with our team previews. We'll be talking about the catching position and potential designated hitters, and then next week we'll finally culminate that with the outfielders. We'll also be having a special lineup feature next week of, we're going to make our predictions for our opening day lineup. There's a lot going on, man. I mean, we're 8 days away. This is amazing.
I love our schedule. Tune in. This stuff is starting to get exciting. I'm just getting a little bit amped up just thinking about where we're going to go with some of these discussions. So, obviously, we love talking Brewers. We're glad that you guys are all tuning in. So, some exciting episodes coming up.
All right. So that's going to do it for today's Tuesday edition of Locked On Brewers. Thank you again so much for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. He's Vinny. I'm Dom. We will see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.